something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets, but how can I contain the truth I hold inside? With all the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the True Stream Oasis podcast. The True Stream Oasis podcast can be found at truthstreamoasis.com, and True Stream is part of the Revelations Radio Network, and you can find the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. Today is the day that the Lord has made, so let us be glad and rejoice in it. Though we may sit in the midst of spiritual darkness, the Lord will be our light. He is our light and our salvation. Of whom should we fear? Should we fear man, who has but a breath in his nostrils? No, we will fear no one. We will fear no one but the Lord, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and I am glad to be coming back with you guys once again on the True Stream Oasis podcast to take a little bit of time and chat with you guys and hang out with you. Just want to let you guys know that I've been praying for you all, and just want you to know that I'm in the battle and the struggle with you, and you are not alone. We are facing these days together, and we are a body, and we are unified under the banner of Christ's love, so never feel like you're alone. And you guys can always contact me as well if you have any prayer requests at epiphos@hotmail.com. epiphos@hotmail.com. We're going to be starting a series of podcasts. It actually was just one podcast, but it was a really long podcast. It lasted for approximately 4 hours. It was a wonderful discussion that I had the opportunity to take part in with Brother Ezra and Brother Cliff. And we started out with this podcast, just, you know, having an opportunity that the Lord gave us where we all were together. Ezra and Cliff are in the same time zone, but as you guys know by now, I'm over here in Australia. But it just all worked out wonderfully where we both, all of us had an opportunity to get on Skype together and have a conversation. And we wanted to talk about the Lord's rest. We've been doing a series of podcasts at True Stream, focusing on the book of Galatians and talking about law and grace and all the awesome things that God has communicated in His Word through Paul the Apostle on that subject in the book of Galatians. And then we jumped in with a podcast talking about the Hebrew Roots Movement. And, you know, so all of this kind of just culminated together, and we decided to get together and just have a discussion and a time of fellowship. You know, the Lord laid on Brother Cliff's heart Hebrews chapter 4, and that was kind of the launching pad for this podcast. And so, you know, he contacted me one day, as you'll hear in the podcast about that, and it just kind of worked out from there where we all got together. And I hope you guys will really enjoy this. I hope it's a blessing. I really didn't know what to call the podcast at this moment. I'm editing doing the intro here for the first podcast. I broke it up into four parts. So I really, at this point, don't even know what to call the podcast. So I guess we'll attach some kind of name to it. But really, it's just generally a four hour period where we got online together and just chatted on Skype and fellowshiped with one another, and we went over some different scriptures talking about law and grace and, you know, the Hebrew Roots Movement, and just, you know, we got into like various different topics. You know, we just talked about some different things. So But it was a real blessing to us to get together and fellowship, and I want to share that with all of you, and hopefully it will be a blessing to you as well. And that is our prayer always, is that, you know, if the Lord gives us some bread, we want to share it with you, because you are our brothers and sisters. And wherever you are in the world, whether you are in Europe or Asia, over here in Australia, America, North America, wherever you're at, South America, South Africa, wherever you're at in the world and wherever you're receiving this, my prayer is that you get something out of this that you needed, something that's a blessing to you. That's always my prayer, is to be able to give back to the Lord what, you know, I could never repay the Lord for saving me, first of all. But just out of love, this is my offering back to his church and his body, my brothers and sisters. And he said, you know, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so my hope and prayer again is that you guys will get a blessing out of this. I'm not going to talk too much longer. I just wanted to give you guys a verse that's been kind of important to me lately, just something that's been, you know, on my mind, and I wanted to share it with you, and maybe you guys can meditate on it. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. For some reason, over the last couple months, the Lord's really laid this verse on my heart, and when I wake up in the morning, you know, I'm not confident in my flesh that my day is going to go, you know, the way it should. You know, I rely on the Spirit, and that verse states that we should trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. That if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, we lean on him like Moses leaned on the staff. We lean on him, and we don't lean on our own understanding. We don't lean on our own understanding of our world and what's going on and, you know, what's happening. We just every day just simply trust in him. Trust in him every day and acknowledge him with what, you know, we're doing. And he will direct our paths. I'm sure you guys can hear some noise in the background. I've got the doors open here in my residence, and some of you guys may hear some of the wonderful tropical Australian birds that we have that visit outside. God is awesome. His creation is amazing. Just as a side note, we have these little birds that land in our driveway out here. They're called rainbow lorikeets, I think. And they're so beautiful. They're just, they have all these colors. Just it literally is like a rainbow. You know, they're red, blue, yellow, green, and when they lift their wings up, and you can see underneath them, it literally looks like a rainbow. They're just beautiful. We have cockatoos that just fly around in like crazy here. I know over in the States, you know, these are tropical birds that you purchase, but they just fly around in flocks over here. You'll see them lined up on, you know, trees and power lines and stuff. It's just, it's awesome. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here. We're getting ready to go into spring as of September 1st. And I thank God every day, you know, for another day to have an opportunity to just experience life and be, you know, able to, you know, come on here, for instance, and share with you guys. So I just wanted to encourage you guys out there. Some of you guys are in different situations and maybe going through some difficult times. Hang in there. We're all in this ship together. It's a fellowship. And I love you guys. And be sure to email me if you have any prayer requests, and I will pray for you. But I hope you guys enjoy this series of podcasts. And I'm going to just leave it there for now. And let you guys just kind of dive in and listen, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you, okay? So we'll be back at the end of it to say goodbye, all right? God bless.
I've given some thought about that, like, you know, because you know how we talked about, like, periods of, like we were talking about 9/11 and that stuff, and what I was wondering was, we all know how much time is cyclical, right? Mm-hmm. So my question was, so when I was pondering, I was like, how many times over the years have there been situations of two towers together being burned down? kind of like how it was in 9/11. Like, because I thought to myself, I said, you know, there are multiple occasions around this world right now, you know, besides where it was in New York, that there are literally twin towers, two towers together of equal height, like sisters or brothers.
Yeah. Isn't there, like, Sears Towers, too? I mean, even in Chicago?
Sears is a lone tower. There's nothing around it. But, like, there's a couple towers down in Southeast Asia that at the very top are, like, a cone, and they're actually connected at, like, the 55th floor. There's, like, a bridge between them.
Yeah, I remember that, actually. Yeah, I think, wasn't that, that was in the movie Entrapment or something. There was...
Yeah,
that's something. I remember some movie, there was a couple towers, and they were connected. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I'm trying to. So I was thinking, like, how many times in history have there been situations of towers burning? And what I was wondering was if those people at that time thought that was a sign of the end time. You know what I mean? Like, what if there's something else that's coming? What if it's like an example to show us what it's going to look like? You know, because as we've said many times, we can't predict time. In terms of God, it's impossible. We cannot predict time. All we can do is read the signs as best we can and get ourselves prepared. So I was wondering, like, what if there's something else to come? What if the towers represent groups of people? What if, you know what I mean? Like, what if the two towers...
Yeah, I've gotten into some of that philosophizing with that. I don't know.
Like, what if the two towers is, like, the United States and England? You know what I mean? Like,
there are people... Like, I've read on the internet where there's... Some people believe you know, there's a video on YouTube where they believe the two towers were representative of the two witnesses and it was some kind of metaphor, you know.
I'm just hypothesizing. Like, I'm not saying seriously, but I'm just saying, like, because we know how many times where objects or phrases in the old text are metaphors for something more spiritual. So what if there's a more spiritual meaning to it?
Or two pillars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I was just thinking,
like, in front of the temple.
And
that's what the Masons use, you know. That's what they call, you know, Joke and what is it? Boaz.
Because we talked about before how, like, those in power try to foment things to try and force actions and force their own hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, it says in the scriptures, Ezra, it says, you know, there's a part in scriptures where it says the Lord is speaking to, you know, the people in the scripture at this point. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but he said, you know, they say, you know, let the plan of the Holy One come that we may know it, you know?
Yeah.
And so God is making a charge against, you know, the wicked men where he says, I know what's going on in your head. You want to see what my plan is. You know, and he's like,
you know, I'm afraid of that wrath, man. That thing, like,
I know.
That's scary stuff.
What is it in what passage
especially,
is that where it says, woe to those who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? It is a day of thick clouds and darkness and, you know, wrath.
I don't want that, man. Like, that's scary. Like, I hate all that hype that's going on right now in the United States with just like I said, I was at the theater the other day and they had a trailer for that new movie called 2012, which is all about the Mayan calendar and the end of the world. I'm like, are you mad? Like, why would you want to, like, continue to emphasize the hype over this event? Like, you really want this to happen? Like, it's sickening to think, like, they really want to do that.
That brings up something for me too. I've been watching. You guys ever heard of Ron Wyatt? He was he was an archaeologist who found, like, Noah's Ark, the Red Sea Crossing,
you know,
the Ark of the Covenant, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If these things are there and there's archaeological proof for these things, why is it being kept from everybody? So there's people who know, and I sit there and I think, man, if these people know. And they know that these things really happen, you know, and they're purposely keeping these things from the public, from being, you know, becoming big news or, you know, stuff like that.
That's just because the media wants to just shove the war down our throats and just, like,
yeah. And that's purposely denying God, even though they know that it's true and that he's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, in the biblical account of these things are true.
Yeah.
And I sit there and think, man, aren't these people, you know, don't they fear God?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, Cliff, is you brought up a good point. It says in Psalms, it says, there is an oracle in my heart about the wicked. They have no fear of God before their eyes. They flatter themselves too much to see their own sin. And that's what that brings up a good point, as I was going to say earlier. I was having a discussion with my wife, Rebecca, last night. And, you know, we were sitting there, you know, because we were in the emergency room. And we're sitting there and just looking at some of the people milling around. And I'm like, don't they see what's going on? They're in a hospital. There's death and sickness around them. And they're like, oh, I'll just go to work, sit on my computer, input the data. This is just life, and I make my money from it. No big deal. And I said, don't these people realize that everything we're doing here is because of the curse, that it was not originally supposed to be like this? And I was like, I think that's what Christ was saying when he said you're walking in darkness, because you can't see the light. You can't see how it's supposed to be. You can't see the things around you. You don't feel it. It doesn't feel abnormal to drive by a graveyard and see hundreds of tombstones. Like, everybody dies. Like, something's wrong. People get sick. There's crime. People work in police stations. And all this crime and people just breaking laws and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, and it's just like, it's normal. And I think that, you know, the world is just being plunged deeper and deeper into darkness, and they can't see the glorious light of the gospel. They can't see it. And get upset about is the end times. You know, the Lord said, will I find faith on earth when I return? He said, you know, there's going to get to a point where they refuse to receive the love of the truth so long that, you know, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they'll believe the lie. And then Christ has the parable of, you know, the 10 virgins, where 5 go in and 5 come knocking. And there are several places in Scripture where the door gets shut, sort of like the ark with Noah. There's a point where the door gets shut and people knock and they say, you know, let us in. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And it's, you know, we need a revival in our hearts. We need the power of the early disciples and apostles. We need to get that back. This world has no hope unless the Lord pours his Spirit out. We need that latter rain outpouring of God's Spirit, that power. We need it. The Bible talks about there being a time when, you know, when the power of the holy people has finally been shattered, then the end will come. And I'm wondering if the power of the holy people is now being shattered, or where are we at in time? Are we still going to have that latter rain outpouring of God's Spirit? You know, the charismatics believe that, you know, it happened in Azusa Street, but all I see, it is, you know, a great portion of the charismatic portion of Christianity is going down the tubes with materialism, you know, and this name it and claim it. It's going towards the secret, you know, this whole weird thing where you can speak your reality. And I'll say this one more time. I can't remember. It's Lamentations chapter 3. But there's one verse that totally destroys the speaking things into reality, like you're a little god. Like, you're God, you know, God spoke the world into existence, and they say, oh, you can shape your reality with your words. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, it says, who can speak and have it come to pass unless the Lord has decreed it? Who can speak and have it come to pass unless the Lord has decreed it? And it's just getting ridiculous, you know, with the darkness that's coming upon the land. And darkness to me is like the loss of hope. You know, people are just losing hope. And the gospel is that hope. And we need to bring the gospel to people. and be bold with it. You know, I think a lot of us get what I call mixel vision. You know, we're witnessing to people and we're so sensitive to how they're receiving it that it actually douses our power in delivering it. Mm-hmm. Where we truly can witness to people is when we're focused on the knowledge that the Bible is true and God is true, and we're so confident in that that we know that they need to hear it, and we push past those feelings we get when we're witnessing to people that they're like, oh, they're not getting this, my words are falling on the floor, they're thinking this, and you just witness anyway.
Do you know what that reminds me of, Amos?
What's that?
Do you remember that? Remember a year ago when I went through my kind of breakthrough and it finally sunk in, and we would just have those nights where we would, I was just a wreck.
Yeah.
And we would sit together and just talk. And I always remember how good it felt whenever we were together, just hanging together, talking, sharing time, just, you know, being in fellowship. Like,
yeah. Do you remember that one was, night up on your up on the deck of your apartment building? Where the world was just, that was, I think that was the turning point. I think I was in darkness. I was being oppressed that night. You know the situation. And out of that pressure of my own suffering, God used me to help you. And it's like, you know, you take the example of an olive. An olive must first be pressed before the oil comes out. And the oil represents the power of the Spirit. And an olive has to be pressed for the oil to come out. And I just think a lot of Christians need to realize that you need to be broken. You need to be pressed sometimes. You need to feel really weak in order for the power of God to work the way that, you know, that he can through a broken vessel, you know.
Like, I also think it's important, though, to know that sometimes it's one of those occasions, and this is, I think, the case with me. It may not be a complete break, but in different ways, your old self has to be broken away.
Yeah.
So there's going to be multiple times, like, I'm kind of, you know, because I've talked to you about some of the issues I have that I still have issues with. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to break away from it, and it's being quite difficult. And it's like, there comes a point I have to hit that breaking point if I'm going to be able to truly move on. And it's a struggle.
Well, think about this. When I think it was the prostitute who had been forgiven, she mm-hmm. came back and she broke the jar of perfume or oil or something and had a pleasant fragrance. And somebody once said to me, or sent it to me in email or something, brought that out, that, you know, that container had to be broken before the fragrance would fill the room, before, you know, the oil could come out. I mean, God, you see it, Cliff, every day, right? You know, like the examples just all around us in physical life. Does the Lord do that for you? He pulls it out. Like, you'll just have something happen, and all of a sudden this deep spiritual thing just gets revealed to you, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like, you know, Jesus walked around and he just was the master, you know? He could bring a parable up like that. He's like, oh, there's a fig tree. Let me teach you a deep spiritual lesson out of the fig tree. Oh, there's an olive tree. Oh, let me do this. Oh, what should I liken this generation to? I'm the master. I created everything physical to teach you things. So I have a whole boatload of examples. This generation's like children playing in the marketplace. You know, you play a happy song and they wouldn't dance. And you play a sad song and they wouldn't mourn. And he just goes on and on. He's like, what should I liken the kingdom of God to? Kingdom of God is like a woman, you know, who put some leaven and it worked its way through the whole dough. Or he said, what, you know, what's faith like? Oh, it's like a mustard seed. And it's just, it's amazing. It's like, I really believe that the physical world was created to prepare us for, you know, spiritual things. Because the Lord told his disciples, he said, if I've told you of earthly things, or was it the Pharisees or whoever he was talking to? He said, if I told you of earthly things you don't understand, how are you going to understand heavenly things? And to me, that kind of came out. It was like, that's when I learned. I was like, you know, he gave us the physical things to teach us about the spiritual things. And we're just like,
your teachers are all around you.
Yeah, exactly. In the Old Testament, it says, you know, there'll come a time where your teachers will be hidden from you no more. they're all around us. And so it's like, man, I just want to penetrate people. I want to get people excited to go out and give people the gospel, and to, like, you know, I do it in the online company that I'm working for. I'm managing a forum. And I go in there and they don't even realize it, but, like, I use spiritual metaphors all the time. You know, I maybe some of the Christians that are in there realize it, but I use, like, biblical metaphors. I just don't quote the verse and I don't say it's the Bible, but I use biblical metaphors a lot. And I, you know, there's just, man, God can just show you different ways to reach people, you know?
Well, that's how you said the, isn't that how you say, I think it's the, that's how you said the Psalms are. It's like how many different ways of saying the exact same 30 things. Was that the Psalms?
Yeah, it was the Proverbs.
Yeah, the Proverbs. Yeah, that's
Proverbs,
right.
Proverbs is, he says in the end, that was awesome when God gave that to me. It was so exciting because I had made a commitment when I lived down in Georgia back in 2003 and 2004, and I was pretty much alone down there. And it was a time where God set me by myself, and you know, I just was renting a room from a lady, and I spent a lot of time to myself. It was a couple years after I became a Christian, and it was just a cleaning process. It was kind of like a time where I went away. You know, Ezra, the situation.
Yeah, I do. Your time down in the desert.
Yeah, it was like my desert experience. I was alone. I didn't know anybody down there through a series of what the world would call unfortunate events. You know, I ended up down there and was dealing with some of, you know, the issues from my past. And God was just cleaning me up. But, you know, I went through so many things when I was down there, and he revealed so many things to me during that time. It was just absolutely incredible, you know. And he does that when he gets you alone and he can speak to you, and you know, you're focused on him. I look back on that time with golden memories. But yeah, he taught me a lot of things. Taught me a lot of the parables kind of came out to me. And but yeah, there was a point when I was in Georgia for 30 days, I decided, and this is funny, like, because I just didn't have a whole lot of money. You know, I was delivering pizzas at the time and struggling to pay my bills. So I didn't have a lot of money. I was trying to get back up to Pennsylvania and move back up there closer to my family. So what I did was I went to Walmart and I bought a cassette recorder, you know, one of those little handheld ones that you put a cassette in, hit the record button, and you can record on cassettes. So what I did, because my car had a cassette recorder, it didn't have a CD player. I had an old 94 Honda and just had a cassette player in it. So what I did was went to Walmart, bought the cassette recorder, and at night when I wasn't working, I read the Proverbs, because I didn't have the Bible on CD or anything, and I wanted to listen to scriptures while I was at work. So I focused on the Proverbs. I was like, Lord, obviously I made some really, really stupid decisions. You know, there's a place in the Proverbs where it says he was a young man that lacked understanding, you know. And I was like, I need wisdom. And I knew that Proverbs contained some deep riches of wisdom. So I'm like, I need wisdom, Lord. So I focused and made a goal where I'm going to listen to the Proverbs for 30 days. So I went and bought this cassette player, sat in my room at night while I wasn't doing anything, and read the Proverbs on the cassette. And then for 30 days, I would listen to those Proverbs while I was working. And after about 20 days or so, something just kind of clued into me. I was getting it in the beginning. I guess I always knew that there were some verses that sounded the same. They kind of repeated the same concepts, but it really was like, I wasn't awake to it. It didn't hit me like, you know, like a sledgehammer. Just the light didn't come on. So I'm listening to these, and all of a sudden, it started to really dawn on me that Solomon was saying the same thing over and over again, just in different ways. And then one day, I guess I was focused, and it's towards the end of Proverbs. It's like Proverbs 30 or something like that, and He says, I have given you 30 sayings of the wise. And I was like, that's it. And God revealed to me that there are 30 wise principles principles of God's wisdom that are repeated over and over and over again in the Proverbs. And they're the same concepts. Just he just goes over the same 30 principles. And it's like, I guess what it's doing is it's reprogramming your mind if you keep listening to them. It gets in. The Word of God is like a seed, and it gets into your mind. And what happens is it's like a building. You know, a building has four sides. And for you to see the three-dimensional picture of the building, you have to see the north, west, east, and south sides. And that's what Solomon is doing with these principles of wisdom, is he gives them to you in different ways. And I think another thing that the Lord revealed to me is that people learn differently. You can say something different, and another person will say, oh, now I get it. You know what I'm saying, Cliff?
Mm-hmm.
You just get – some people just need different things. And that was – I just wanted to share that with everybody, because that was an awesome revelation to me, that if you want wisdom, listen to the Proverbs. It literally will make connections, because you're hearing words in a row containing wisdom over and over and over again. It gets into your spirit, it gets into your mind, it gets into your memory, and it actually will reprogram your mind. It's like washing your mind with the Word. People say it's brainwashing, and it is. There's nothing wrong with brainwashing. I call the bad kind of thing that we call in the world brainwashing, I call it brain staining, you know, because they're staining your brain with wrong concepts. And that's what,
like, whitewashing.
Say, oh, you're brainwashed. Yeah. Oh, you went to a cult and they brainwashed you. Well, they didn't brainwash you, they brain stained you. Brainwashing is good. Washing
Well, no, it's like the whitewashing, the white paint of lies on the wall. It's just washed over.
Well, it's called whitewashing. But see, even in that context, you're referring to Ezekiel 13. Even in that context, it's painting. It's called whitewashing, but it's really painting over something really ugly, and you just put this quick coat of white paint over it, and it's like, ah, oh, there's no wounds in people. Everything's happy, shiny people, Lord world, and, you know, we'll ignore everything outside of the church, and we'll just be praise and happy and peace to everybody. You know, that's kind of like whitewashing, but it's really just painting over the wall, so you don't see the damages and stuff. But yeah, brainwashing is good. The Bible says that our minds are to be washed with the Word. We're supposed, specifically, a husband's supposed to do that with their wife. They're supposed to wash his wife with the Word, and to be renewed in the spirit, to be renewed in our mind with the Word.
Yeah, Jesus washes us with his Word.
Yes, and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind is nothing but a little tree with branches, and they're all little neural paths. And I'm sorry, but nobody can think unless there's an electric signal traveling on one of those roads. And when you corrupt your ways and you've created those neural connections in your mind, you're going to have a hard time breaking it. It takes 30 days to break a habit. And if you're going to take one of those neural connections and you have a thinking pattern where one of those electrical signals travels a certain way and it's used to doing that, you're going to have to work hard to break it. It's like killing off a root in a tree, killing off a branch. You have to not feed it for a while and it'll die off. Yeah, and it's hard because it constantly, the electrical signal wants to go in that direction all the time. And it takes a physical working of another neural pattern that can overpower that and break that habit, and then that path dies off. And then it's like anything. If you have a habit of anything, it takes 30 days to break it real good, and then you're like, it's not as hard as it was before. You know, I kind of don't even think about it anymore. So, you know, I would recommend to anybody out there to get into the Proverbs who really wants wisdom, take the Proverbs challenge. Take 30 days and listen to the Proverbs. You can listen to other scriptures or whatever, but, you know, take 30 days and read the Proverbs, you know, every day, even if it's just a chapter a day, you know. I particularly wanted to read massive amounts and listen to massive amounts of it each day so that I could just get not just one chapter a day for 30 days, but I wanted to have it repetitive in my mind. So, you know, that's kind of, whoever that's for, I don't know. I just kind of threw that out there. It came up. But, yeah, it was a real blessing in my life. So I want to get started on you know, what we're going to talk about. I think, Cliff, the theme is rest. We're going to talk about rest today, okay. Tying it in with the Sabbath. And I thought that was fun. That was fun getting into that and just kind of free flowing with some things. But you know, who cares?
It's it's always good.
It's like, you know, the Lord leads with his spirit, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that you know, that's gonna be like, wow, thanks for that, you know?
It's part of your testimony, you know. So
well, this is what we do. We test we're witnesses on the testimony stand. That's why I tell people, I'm like, you know what, Cliff, is funny? Sometimes I'll say that when I'm witnessing to people. You know, I'll relieve pressure. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm not trying to pressure you with anything. I'm not saying you got to believe like me. I'm just like a witness on a testimony stand, just telling you what I experienced, you know?
Exactly.
I'm just telling you what I experienced, man, and I'm trying to share it with you, like, no pressure. Not going to hold you down and put you in, like, a figure four or anything until you scream mama. You know? It's just, like, I'm just, hey, you know? And it kind of relieves pressure off of the other person because you're like, hey, you know, you're a person. You're just talking to me. You're just telling me what you experienced. That's cool. You know, like, I'm just witnessing to you. Just telling you what I went through and what I personally experienced. It's real. You know? So, I want to get the passages pulled up here. I know we're going to take a look at Hebrews 4. Did you have any other passages, Brother Cliff, that
let's see, Hebrews 3, 4, Hebrews 11, and I think James 2, chapter 2.
Okay, pull that up. Anybody that's out there that's listening can, they got their Bibles, you can section off these, or you can just listen if you're in your car or whatever. And what was it, James chapter 2?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, James.
I have that written down, but yeah, I don't remember why.
Bruce.
But, you know, in all actuality, I mean, it's much broader than these, you know, set scriptures here.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. they're good launching points for the conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Lord will direct the conversation, and but let's I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer right now. So let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us, okay?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for another day. Holy, holy, holy is your name, Lord, and we recognize that. We just come before you and just want to thank you for another day, for every breath, for every heartbeat, everything that you give us, Lord. We are so thankful to even just be conscious, to experience the things that you put before us. Things aren't always easy, Lord, but, you know, like Job said, we strive that, you know, to have the attitude with you, Father, that, you know, even if you slay us, we will bless you. That's how far we want to go in our hearts. I know sometimes we struggle and, you know, like you bring the rain so that things will grow. But in bringing the rain, the clouds come and it blocks the sun out. And Lord, there's people out there that are in darkness, Lord, and they're getting engulfed in this whirlwind. And Lord, I pray for them, whoever that is, Lord, I pray that you would bring them back into that place in the center of the storm where the eye is, Lord, where it's peaceful. And I pray that you would just bless people with opening the eyes of their understanding as they listen to this, Lord. And I pray that you would give us a good dose of the power, that dunamos of the Holy Spirit, that energy and power, Lord, that you would empower us, because we need you. We're nothing, Father, without you. We're just guys just sitting here and having a chat, Lord, and our words mean nothing unless it has the power of your Holy Spirit behind it, and the power that goes out and to anybody that your providence has gotten this audio to people, Lord, wherever they're at, whether it's 3 months from now or whether it's tomorrow or whatever, no matter whether they're in their car, they're in their house, they're walking down the street with their iPod, whoever hears this, Lord, it the only thing that makes a difference is the power of your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, and we need that. We need your Spirit. We need you to pour your Spirit out on this land. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness for our sins, And we ask you, Father, to rescue us from the powers of this dark age. You are rescuing us, Father. You are rescuing us from such a deadly peril. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our eyes so that we might be able to see what's going on, Lord, and guide us. And a lot of times we don't ask for the right things and we don't ask you, Lord, but I pray, Father, that your mercy would well up inside of you, Lord, and just overflow to your people. Father, rescue us, because we never had a hope without you. We admit that before you, Father. We never had a hope. We were lost. Lost. And if it's not for you, Father, who? Who's going to save us? No one. We'll be lost. And no one can praise you from the grave, as David said, Lord. And I just ask you, Father, that you will bless us. That you will bless us, not because we deserve it, but according to your loving kindness, that you would bless us with understanding and that you would save us. We've sinned and we ask for your mercy. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we focus on that, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for your love. We love because you first loved us. We did not break into your light, Lord. You crashed into our darkness and you rescued us. And we're thankful for that. And we will rejoice in the Lord. And we will rejoice in the Lord always. Because though we may sit in the midst of spiritual darkness, Lord, you are our light. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us, it's like walking into a room and turning the light on. It allows us to see what's going on. And we thank you, Lord, and give you all the praise. And I just pray, Lord, if there's anybody out there that's sick or hurting or whatever, you know the need, Lord. I pray that you would touch them, Father, and through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask that you would do that, Lord. You said in your word that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And if there is any person out there who's humbly listening and has their heart open, I pray that you would touch them through the power of your Holy Spirit. You spoke the world into existence, Lord. You are the Almighty, the only true and living God. You are our Father, and we are your children, and we love you. And we just ask that you would bless this time that we talk together, and just pray, Lord, that, you know, there'll be something in here, some bread for somebody out there who's hungry and who needs it and who's weary and who needs to learn how to rest, including us, Lord. Help us to find your rest. You said, come unto you, all that are weary and heavy laden, and you would give us rest. Lord, that seems so simple, but it's not. We need you to teach us what that rest is, Lord. Please teach us what that rest is so that we might enter into your rest. And we ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and our rescuer and our Savior and our hero, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 All right. Let's see here. Wow, so we did the Hebrew Roots Movement podcast last time, and got some good feedback on that. It came at a time where we were having some issues on the Revelations Radio Network dealing with us, and I do pray for anybody that's listening to this that, you know, that was healing. Tried not to take sides, but I tried to speak the truth in love and focus on the fact that, you know, it's through grace that we're saved. It's by grace, should I say, to make it more correct. By grace, through faith. Faith is the vehicle whereby grace saves us, and that is God's grace. And grace is a gift that we do not deserve. Mercy is withholding from us what we do deserve. So I hope and pray in this time that we speak that something will come out of this, because we want to talk about grace, we want to talk about faith, and we want to talk about rest. So with the Hebrew Roots podcast, finding the way, and many of you guys may have picked up on that, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. So it wasn't about just finding the path that our feet are on. It was about finding Christ and understanding that he is the reality of all these types and shadows.
Hey, Amos?
Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of make a quick comment on it because I really did like the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you what you thought about it because you being Jewish, I was going to ask you to actually start out and let me know what you thought.
I think this is a thought of mine I had last night. I had a lot of deep thoughts last night. And I had a big itch to think about a lot of deep things. And one of the things I thought about was the idea, not really idea, but the understanding of the difference of choice. And what I mean by that is, as we go through our lives, we are faced with choices. There's one basic choice I've come to understand. There is the easy choice, and there is the right choice. And I think that if we're going to go about our lives trying to, through the Deeper Roots Movement, saying that our works is going to protect us, that's the easy choice. Because we already see what we did versus the right choice, which is based upon our faith.
Okay. So what, all right, help me out. Tie that in with faith. Like when you make a choice, here's a question. I don't want to get too deep into this, but how are we even able to make the choice? You know,
I think
God's gotta kind of, like I said, crash into our darkness and really kind of make us alive before we.
I would say for those of us who have been broken, we learned what the right choice was. Because the easy choice was our old ways. Mm-hmm. The easy choice is what gave us our lifestyles and the things that we thought made us happy. Yeah. And ultimately left us feeling empty.
In the darkness of our understanding, yeah, we were
exactly
lost.
Whereas the right choice, which is usually the hard choice, because it takes more effort. Mm-hmm. But in the end, through all that effort, makes it much more worthwhile, much more fulfilling, and much more everlasting.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a true change in our life. And that's, I got to testify to everybody that when the Lord actually comes into your life, when he makes that change, there are a lot of people out there, not for me to judge who that is, but I was one of them. That's why I can testify. I was one of those people who went to Christian school and all that. You guys who follow the podcast know the whole thing. But I thought I was saved for years, and I wasn't. I can tell you that there is a vast difference between the Lord actually, when you actually become converted, like that quickening actually happens. Until then, you are nothing but a student of a literary work. Very powerful, most powerful literary work in the world. It's God's word. But you are just a student of the book until God makes that word real and writes it on your heart. And there is a very vast difference. And when he does that, he's not going to let you go. You can try. You're going to have struggles with your flesh. You're going to be miserable, bro. You're
going to
be miserable because once he gets a hold of you, he doesn't let go. Can I get an amen, Brother Clev?
You can. Amen. That's for
he ain't
sure.
Going to let you go, man. People talk about eternal security. You
I don't want
about,
to let
you
me
worry
go.
About holding on to the Lord. He's got you. He's got you in the palm of his hand, and nobody can pluck you out. And he's going to pursue you because he loves you. He's not when he takes a hold of you, he loves you. He's going to be a father who does the right thing. He's going to discipline you. He's going to chastise you, but he's going to make you live. You are going to live, and he does it because he loves us. And you know, so therefore, don't lose heart when the Lord chastises you or disciplines you. Don't lose heart, you know, because the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. He's trying to save your life because he knows you're going by billboards, you're reading magazines, you got television, you got this whole river flooding in one direction, the flesh. Everything in the world is designed to just go towards the flesh. And he is going to like the proverbial salmon, turn you around and teach you how to jump against the flow, you know? So don't, you know, that's one thing, you know, Ezra, you're right. You know, once he gets into your life, he teaches you that right choice. And I think it's a change of heart at the basis of it. It's a change of heart. And that change has to come through repentance. And a lot of people don't talk about that. And that's why a lot of people don't get to that point of a true conversion, because they don't truly repent, you know, and that repentance has to be there.
That's a perfect comment and follow up to your Hebrew Roots podcast, because what do the people who don't repent do? They say, look at all the good I've done. Look at all the works I've done. And you talked about how it's the fig leaves they use to cover themselves instead of willingly standing naked saying, this is me. This is what I've done.
They don't see their sin. They don't see their sin. They don't see their sin as sin. They may justify it.
Yes. Yes.
They cover it.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah. Yeah, in our own hearts. Exactly. But the thing is Adam and Eve were naked. They didn't realize it. Because they weren't really. Because, you know, our flesh is our clothes. It is our clothing, you know? And then once they sinned and were in rebellion, they were ashamed of their clothing. So they needed clothing for their clothing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a horse. I've told you before, Brother Cliff, you know, it's like a horse, man. A horse doesn't sit there and be like, oh my gosh, I'm naked. Oh no, cover me up. Oh, move the saddle around, you know? Like, they just don't do that. They're a horse, you know? All the animals, they're just like, you know, God clothed everything beautifully. But, you know, we got mixed up between our spirit and our flesh. And now I think people think their flesh is their spirit. Selah, meditate on that. You know? Now they got to clothe their clothing. And, you know, so, excuse me, it's really, really deep what happened in the garden. And it's probably going to take a lot of us years of growing, you know, to actually understand it. You know, it's like a little child, you know, if you have a little baby. Brother Cliff, you got a young baby.
Oh, yeah.
You and your wife, you're having a conversation, you know. Your son doesn't understand what you're talking about. He's got to grow up and he's got to, you know, drink his bottles and get his food, soft food, and then he's going to get on to solid food and eat meat, and just like we do spiritually. And then eventually one day he's going to be able to sit there at the dinner table with you and your wife and have deep, meaningful conversations with you. Yeah. You know, that's the way we are spiritually. We have to feed on the word and we have to grow spiritually. That's why in the beginning, you know, you can't start out with the deep things of God with people. They're baby Christians. You know, they're born again. They're in that process. So, I just felt that it was – I really felt moved on the last podcast. I haven't really – there's been a couple months going by at a time, and I just haven't been able to do a podcast. And I'm just not one of those people who's going to let Satan say – oh, you're a horrible Christian. You got all these people waiting, you know. I want a podcast. You better do it. Because I'm sure he would love for me to get on the mic when I don't have anything. And, you know, just to be sitting here listening to my own voice is ridiculous, you know. It's not going to do any good. So I just don't do a podcast until I feel that the Lord moves me to do a podcast. Because I hope in the Lord, you know, I am nothing. I don't have anything. I don't have any bread to give anybody unless the master gives me bread. You know, it's just the way it is. But this,
why falsify that?
Yeah, there's no reason to do a podcast. Like, you know, I'm sure this isn't like a job. You know, I got to give credit to, you know, Frank on the network, because he doesn't hound any of us. He doesn't, you know, browbeat us and say, oh my gosh, you're not doing a podcast, you know? You stink. You need to do a podcast, you know? He just lets us be on the network, and he lets the Spirit move. And, you know, when the Spirit moves, we do it. He just, you know, he doesn't say, oh, I haven't done a podcast in 2 months. I'm getting rid of you. It's just not the way we work. And, you know, it's just, you know, he's got a lot of hosts on the network, and we all get moved at certain times. And he felt that, you know, that last podcast was a compliment to, you know, what he was trying to get across with this issue. And, you know, it's just God works everything out for good. And that's one of the things that I've got to praise the Lord about. Praise the Lord for that, that he takes everything. Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good. Where it's obvious that the Bible says we're, the two sticks are going to be joined together. It's, since it's obvious, we have an enemy. Satan, the accuser, the devil, that old serpent, the dragon, who leads the whole world astray. When he sees a move of God, he comes in to destroy it. And he's trying, as I said in the podcast, he's trying to move the people with grace all the way to grace and putting a nasty taste in their mouth anytime you hear a law. And he's trying to move the people that are, you know, that might be in the Moses type of the two witnesses ministry, who's preaching the law, because you need the law to convict, so that the person who's on the side of those who oppose God, the proud, you know, to break them down so that they break, so that they can be brought into the humble side, where God says, God gives grace to the humble. We have a twofold ministry, and we can't fight with one another, you know. But we do. The overall riding factor is we are saved by grace through faith. There is no one who will be justified by the law. So what does that mean? Brother Cliff, you got any comments on that? There will be no one who's justified by the law. Take that and run with it. It's a relay race.
Oh, you caught me off guard, man. We're not justified. We're justified by faith, you know, by grace, grace through faith. Mm-hmm. You know, or is it the other way around? No, that's right, right?
Yeah, we're just not justified by the law. There's not. What is that? Let me ask you. What does it mean to you if we're not justified by the law? What is the connotation of that? Like, you know, this is a dumb example, but, you know, you throw a rock in the water and it makes ripple waves that go outward. What would be some of the ripple waves of Paul the Apostle giving us a direct revelation from the Lord saying we're not justified by the law? What is the ripple effect? What happens to the law then? Like, what are we doing? You know, like, what kind of understanding should we come to when he says we're not justified by the law? What does that mean?
By our works.
Yeah.
You know, what I see is I see man's works versus God's works. And God's work was Jesus, you know, on the cross.
Yeah, agree.
You know, and it was, awesome. You know, all the law was fulfilled in Christ. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled what man could not fulfill. He said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So,
yep.
And he didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm. So it's not, so there never has been an issue. What I would lovingly ask those who are maybe what I would say in the Moses type ministry, who are the ones, you know, Solomon said there's a time to break down and there's a time to rebuild. There's a time for everything. And I really believe that it's possible that the two witnesses have the Moses and Elijah ministry. And maybe that's why they get mixed up with Moses and Elijah being the two witnesses. Because I believe there are some people who are gifted, you know, hell and brimstone, you know, type preaching to break people down with the law. They're like, no, they love you. They're not being mean. And they were given much grace to do this, because I'm sure you could come back to that person and say, you're a sinner. How can you get up there and preach that fire and brimstone knowing what you did in your life? You know, I'm sure we could do that. And I'm sure the enemy comes into people's minds when they're sitting in a crowd and there's somebody on the street with a Bible. That guy's nothing but a hypocrite. You can just hear the enemy's voice. And God just says, God says same thing to Paul, because Paul had the thorn in his flesh. And that thorn, I thoroughly believe, because he told us it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him because he had had the exceeding great revelations, so that he wouldn't be puffed up. God allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Paul, you're a Christian killer. What are you doing? Oh, you think you're so high and mighty. Oh, you're an apostle of the Lord. Oh, look at little Paul in his little prison cell, trying to act like he's something, writing these little letters, and he's bossing the churches around. Christian killer. I mean, famous. Come on. Don't you ever hear the enemy's voice like that?
Oh, yeah.
He's horrible. So yeah. I think that was the messenger. And you know what? Paul, because he was converted, he had a soft heart. So that really hurt him. That hurt him. That pained him when he realized that the Lord that had spent his blood for him, that he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Not the churches, because the church is his body. He considered it, why are you persecuting me? When he was killing the Christians, when he was standing there in favor of Stephen's death, when he was on his way to Damascus with the law order to round up the Christians. And I can imagine. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, this conversation, as we've been talking about this, has really led me to things that we've talked about before, because how many times have we referred to the reference of the law as that black and white edged sword that has no gray area? It's cut and dry. Mm-hmm. And how many times do we talk about the fact that the laws are for the lawbreakers?
Mm-hmm. You got it. And that leads right into this. Ezra, that leads right into this. It's black and white. We could have never been. Let me lovingly, but in the dunamos of the spirit, let me lovingly. Love tells the truth, okay? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deadly are the kisses of an enemy. To anybody out there who's struggling with the issue of law and grace, let me, not aggressively, but assertively in love, tell you this. Do you really think you could have ever been saved by the law? The law is one piece. He who said, do not covet, also said, do not steal. He who said, do not steal, also said, do not commit adultery. Can you be saved by the law ever? No, you broke it. No, you broke it. No, you broke it. You broke the law. There's no crazy glue to put the law back together. And if you did, you'd still see the crack. And it's ugly. It's no better than when it was broken. You broke the law. It's done. It's over. It's over. Get over it. Okay? Get over it. And I don't mean that in the fact that, you know, don't mourn. Because there is a process of mourning you have to go through. It's just a natural process. Brother and sister, if you don't mourn, it hasn't hit you. If you're not sitting somewhere at some time and shedding some tears over what you did, you're not going to be converted. It's not hit you yet that you offended the Lord. And if you have a spirit of rebellion saying, well, I can't, why did the Lord put me in this situation? You just got to understand the Lord's love. What breaks you is the work on the cross that was done by Jesus Christ, the Father working powerfully through his Son to redeem mankind. Showing his love. If that doesn't break you, you haven't found the way yet. And so it's this whole process of mourning and you know, repentance in your mind. God's got to do the work in your life. You're not going to be able to stop sinning until God gives you the power to overcome it. You're just not. But you've got to start in your mind. That's where God penetrates first, your mind / heart. And for those people that are in the law, Did you ever think it was going to save you? And if it isn't going to save you, what are you going to do now? Because you're lost. So there's only one way to be rescued. And how is that? It would be simple as this physical world that teaches us things. Somebody, you know, there. I use this a lot. Don't like the movie too much. I mean, earthly-wise, it was entertaining, but like National Treasure. I always think of Harvey Keitel in that movie, the police officer. Where he kept telling Nick Cage, you know, he's like, somebody's got to go to jail. You know, he's like, somebody, look, there, the Constitution was stolen, Jack. Somebody's got to go to jail. Okay? So something had to fill that gap. Like, that's the way it is. It's just not justice, or it's not a law. If there's no penalty, it's not a law. There are laws on the books where people, you know, just, you know, the cops and the law, they don't enforce it. So in effect, it's not even really a law. So God in his justice, I mean, he just knows what he's doing. He's wise beyond anybody's imagination. If there's no penalty for it, if he just says, we're just going to just not put anybody in jail, it's no longer a law. So there had to be a fulfillment. Like you said, Brother Cliff, there had to be a fulfillment. There had to be a payment, a fulfillment.
There's another part to that, though.
Okay.
Well, it kind of goes back to my whole thing on choice, because for the easy choice, there's a consequence. Even if it's not necessarily breaking the quote-unquote law, the consequences of those actions will come back to haunt you. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
Say somehow you take advantage of someone, it's going to come back to bite you, where someone may take advantage of you, or they'll come back and see you for what you really are, and you're a disgrace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bible says that your own backsliding will rebuke you, your own consequences. And I always bring this out for those of you that might not have listened to another podcast. Listen to the words sometimes. Sometimes if you just listen to the words you're speaking, it'll bring out a meaning. That's why I love the dictionary. That's why when I did Conspiracy Disillusioned on Purpose, I took Albert Pike's statement and used the dictionary, because sometimes it just, you know, using different words fills in the three-dimensional pattern of understanding, and it just kind of breaks through. But consequences, you know, pros and cons, we say, what are the pros and cons of what we're getting ready to do? The pros are for it. What's the good stuff? The cons are what's against, you know, what's against or coming against us. So if you even break down the word consequences, what is a sequence? You're like, there was a sequence of events. We did this. We pushed the first domino down, and there was a sequence of events that led to all the rest of the dominoes getting knocked down. So if you even just take that word consequences, you know, it's a sequence. You do something wrong, and there's a sequence of events that are con. They're not pro. They're con. They're against you. They're bad. So when we do things, we have consequences afterwards. And you can't get around it. It's a law of the universe. Satan can fuss and moan and stretch and try to deceive people, and other people can just sit there and say, I can escape this, but you can't. It's the consequences. God has laws built into the universe where Satan can't win, and Satan is a prisoner of the laws of the universe. He can't get around it. He can only deceive people. So, you know, there are going to be consequences for the things that we do, and we need to be rescued out of it. It's all part of the law. And in the end, when we all stand before the Lord God of the universe, when we stand in his marvelous light, it's going to be we're going to see it. We're going to see why he did everything that he did. But there is this struggle in our current understanding in this world where we're zoomed in and all we see is through our own eyes using our little brain. And it's just me. It's just me. I'm just peeping out, looking around. I only have this brain to use, and, you know, it's been corrupted by different thoughts, and, you know. But God understands everything. God sees the big picture. And I really believe that the reason the Lord has had us focusing on law versus grace is because, and as I said, I don't want to say that anymore. I'm trying to get away from this. It's not law versus grace. Law and grace. Because law led us to grace. Okay. Even though the sword despises every such stick, such as the scepter in the Old Testament, it kind of is opposed to grace. But the cool thing is that they're actually teammates. Like the dog that barks to scare the sheep is actually leading the sheep into the pen where it was supposed to go, so it would be safe. Okay. And the law is that dog barking at the sheep. And what does it do? It makes the sheep run to the throne where they're supposed to go. God's in control. He's our good shepherd. So hopefully that made sense there. Hopefully that made some sense. Okay, we're going to just leave off there for now. And there's, you know, about three more hours of the podcast to come in the next three parts. And I hope that this section was a blessing for you, and I hope you're looking forward to continuing on with part 2, 3, and 4. And just want to let you guys know that I love you guys, and the Lord loves you guys, and to stay in His Word, because every day in His Word is an awesome day. And just, you know, if you want, contact me. You know, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what's going on in your life. And like I said in at the beginning of this podcast, if you have any prayer requests, you know, be sure to email me with them. I'll pray for you. You know, I'm sure I'll email back and have some, you know, some prayer requests that, you know, maybe you could pray for me. That would be a blessing. But I really hope that this podcast, just True Stream Oasis in general, I really hope that this has been a blessing to you guys, and I hope it's opened some of your eyes to what's going on in the world, and hopefully it's taught you about the love of the Lord and about how to live in His grace and how to find that rest, you know, that Jesus says. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's my prayer, is that, you know, all of us would learn how to rest in the Lord, how to trust Him. There are obviously going to be some dark days coming. The Lord Jesus Christ told us about this. He said, you know, "See, I've told you this ahead of time." And we're going to have to learn to be strong. We're going to have to be strong in our faith, because the world's going in an opposite direction. They're getting more and more rebellious. They're getting more and more lawless. And it's going to get more and more difficult to bring the gospel to people. But there are those out there who have yet to hear the gospel and respond. There are those out there who will respond. We don't know perfectly the end and how it's going to go. But we do know that we have the Holy Spirit, and the Lord told us to go and make disciples of all men, to bring the gospel to the ends of the world, and then the end would come. So, you know, we will continue to do that as best we can with all of our various gifts. The Lord has given us all different gifts, and we use them. And, you know, that's what makes the body function. So, you know, just if you have a gift from the Lord, use it. Those gifts are usually a real blessing to use, because it really is pleasurable to use those gifts. That's why it's considered a gift. It's a joy for me to get on here and, you know, share what I know of the scriptures and what the Lord shared with me. And it's a joy for me to be able to, you know, teach in some areas and help people understand the scriptures better, maybe to understand how to study them and how to bring things out of scripture. All of these things are a joy for me. And it's a joy for me to communicate with you guys through email or on the forum. So, you know, let us use our gifts. Let's stir up the gift inside of us. And let us, in these last days, in the midst of things becoming more lawless and wicked, let us really, really protect our hearts. Let us cry out to God to keep our hearts soft. The Lord says, because of the increase in wickedness, the hearts of most would grow cold, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And so that's one thing the Lord is pressing on me that I'll leave you guys with here at the end of this podcast, is as the world grows colder because of wickedness, let us not grow cold. Let's go into Revelation chapter 2 and read about the church at Ephesus and how he said, you know, repent and do the things you did at first, that, you know, you've fallen from grace. You've forgotten your first love. Let us not let that happen to us just because we live in this world and there's so much turmoil and sorrow and people just, you know, so many lies and deception going on. And sometimes it's really hard to deal with. And you just, you know, after a while, just in order to deal with it, you kind of get hardened. And some of us may not realize that. I know that happens to me at times, and I literally have to pray to the Lord and ask Him to, you know, touch me again. And sometimes, you know, we have to be broken, and that's not fun. But, you know, it serves a really, really powerful spiritual purpose, because if we're not broken and we don't feel weak, we don't witness in power, because God says that it's in our weakness that his power is made perfect. And so that's just something that he has to do in our lives, and it does give us more power. So, you know, let's guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, and, you know, make sure that our hearts aren't being hardened. Let's stay tender towards the Lord. Let's ask him to keep us awake, to keep our eyes open so that no man can deceive us in any way. And let's stay in the scriptures. Stay in the scriptures. Read the Bible. If you don't feel like reading it, read it anyway. Do it out of the discipline and training that God has given us. We know that the scripture is our light, and we know that as we get into scripture, we get hungrier for it. If we stay out of scripture, we tend to lose our hunger. It's kind of opposite of spiritual hunger. So I want to use my gift of exhortation to exhort us all to stay in the scriptures. If you have been a little slack reading the scriptures lately, which happens to all of us, you know, get back in it. Go grab your Bible and read it. And read something. Open up and just see where the Lord takes you and just start reading. If you're in trials, I recommend, you know, in a dark place, I recommend the Psalms. The Psalms are a great place to go to read, especially if you haven't been in the Word for a while. Sometimes just to whet your appetite, it's great to just go in and read some of the Psalms. So I would exhort you guys to stay in the scriptures. It is our life. It is our spiritual food. So hopefully that was for someone out there, including myself. But I love you guys. And if you want to contact me, once again, you can contact me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That's epiphos@hotmail.com. And gosh, just be blessed. And I pray that you all are protected under the shadow of God's mighty wings, that he would protect you and that he would watch over you and that he would bless you and keep you until the coming day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns and we hear that great sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and we can all be united together as a family. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up now, and we'll reel in this cast. My name is Amos Ridley, and I love you guys. And if I don't see you on this side, I certainly hope to see you on the other side.
Well, are we afraid of what people say, what they think about us? This is the way of cynical hearts learning to trust.